we got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, it's a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, September 1st, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me today. I always find it interesting when my opening graphic likes to freeze up. It always is, that's my backup that I use that has the intro to the 7 countries, 5 years. And it always seems to be a day when that just perfectly happens to fit as well. It's very interesting, but very, very big stuff to talk about today. Clearly, this is an early special Sunday show. I rarely do these shows on Sunday, but today I felt I had to. And that's why it's also early. I mean, while the American people are consumed, as always, by, you know, the recent shooting that they, you know, the establishment has chosen to use for their agenda. And of course, by a big storm, because that never happens. There's lots of big things happening around the world and within the United States that no one is really choosing to focus on, or rather making a conscious choice to not talk about, for all the reasons we're always talking about on this channel. And some of the things of what we just discussed yesterday. In fact, two of the main things we're going to cover today are, in fact, Lebanon responding to Israel, and the real story around that that even today is not being covered, and the addition of some, you know, casual use of chemical weapons on a civilian village in Lebanon used by Israel that's not being touched by anybody, video evidence, which we'll show on the show today, as well as the report that we got from Hussein al-Bukhadi on the ground in Yemen yesterday as breaking news, that even today is barely being touched on by just a few outlets out there. But it's turning out that it's now over almost 100 people that were killed inside of a prison camp in Yemen bombed by the U.S. coalition. And guess how we know that for a fact? Because the Red Cross is there, and the Red Cross is saying exactly what we reported yesterday. Even though that's still being denied by the U.S. coalition, saying, no, 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 those were military targets. Well, sorry, guys, the Red Cross is on the ground, and they're dealing with dead bodies of civilians. So I think this is all coming down, as I've talked about recently. It's coming apart at the seams, it would seem, everywhere. But that's what happens when you build your entire system on lie after lie after lie. They tend to fall apart. It's like building a castle on sand, right? Well, this story should really show you what's going on for so many different reasons. And because we know that the Israeli-U.S. foreign policies are one in the same, as it would seem today. And this first article we're starting with coming from RT, and it is everywhere today, by the way, in regard to, you know, the Israeli mainstream media, I should say. It's not in the Western press, but you'll find it on Haaretz, Times of Israel, Press TV, you know, all these other places for varying reasons. But this one from RT, IDF fires at targets inside Lebanon after anti-tank missile lands near Israeli border town. Now, all morning, this entire story has been so convoluted with claims from one side that are countered by the other. You know, there's really, as always, the truth is usually somewhere in between. One side saying, oh, people were murdered. The other side saying nobody was hurt. It's probably somewhere in the middle, as always. But so the interesting part about this story here is that even as we've been following this, knowing that this all started because Israel illegally bombed Lebanon unprovoked, lied about it, got caught, then admitted it, now pretending the people that are touching this is pretending like they're responding to an attack, right? Because they're always defending themselves, even when they start it. But even within the day's story, there's huge parts of this that are being intentionally left out. I know, we're shocked to hear that, right? So this story today, by the few in the mainstream media even discussing it, is being represented as Israel being attacked by Lebanon. Of course, ignoring that Israel first illegally attacked Lebanon, yet few are pointing out that even the events from today, following a promise to respond made by Hezbollah's leader, seems to have been kickstarted by a quiet Israeli attack that's being ignored. And no, not the ones from yesterday or before, today. Interesting, most people probably haven't heard that, right? Because that's not what you're going to hear by the mainstream press that tries to forcefully fit this story into what they want you to see. So earlier today, the Lebanese army said that an Israeli drone violated Lebanese airspace and dropped incendiary material that sparked a fire in a pine forest by the border. Right, so this is the Lebanese army saying this. So, you know, obviously you could say, well, maybe they're making it up. Certainly possible. Right? The Lebanese army statement said it was following up. It was following up with UN peacekeepers in the area, but gave no further details. So they clearly are in contact with the United Nations, probably documenting all of these very clear crimes. Now, other reports from Lebanon claimed that unmanned aerial vehicles dropped flammables on a grove nearby known as the Basra Farm in order to set fire to the place so as to expose further targets. Now, regardless of the reason for it, to send drones in to start random fires in someone else's country is clearly not legal. But of course, even right now, there's probably people watching and saying, well, that's Lebanese, they're lying, Israel wouldn't do that. But guess what? The Israeli army itself confirmed fires broke out in these areas due to military action that it took. Interesting. So here they are openly admitting to a very clear crime. I doubt anyone's going to get in trouble for that because they're, you know, they're exempt from the law, clearly. So they can openly admit, of course, within Israeli papers, which I'm always pointing out, they'll admit things in their Israeli papers that they want to show the Israeli people. Look at how aggressive we're being. Look at what we can make the U.S. do. But things that the U.S. media and government would never want you to see, such as openly admitting that they created fires in Lebanon for whatever reason they think that makes it justified. But so this is what started the events today. Obviously, we know Lebanon, rather Hezbollah's leaders and Lebanon in general, have been talking about a response. But maybe they were waiting. Maybe they decided not to. And for whatever reason, Israel decided, let's take even more action, more illegal action this morning, probably in hopes that they will respond, because clearly that is what they want. Regardless of the reasons, those actions were illegal. And also remember that a few days ago, the Lebanese army opened fire on Israeli drones, just like the ones they're saying that they admitted to starting fires today, that breached its airspace near the southern border. We covered it then. The attack was preceded by reports of two Israeli suicide drones that crashed near the Lebanese capital in densely civilian populated Beirut areas. Now, it's believed that the drones were attempting to target Hezbollah facilities or possibly plant explosives, as the leader of Hezbollah discussed himself, which actually makes much more sense seeing the actions of today, such as the setting fires. Maybe there was a plan set there. Actually kind of makes sense. But then, as you know, Israel lied repeatedly, claimed that they were Iranian drones. We didn't do that. And then that very night openly bombed Lebanon, right? Because that all lines up. Like they spend all day lying about how, no, that's not us. And then they bomb Lebanon anyway, showing you the impunity with which they act on a daily basis over and over and over, which leads us to today. Following this string of obviously illegal acts, in a long line of overtly criminal acts that Israel is now openly admitting to, either a single anti-tank missile or several were fired, depending on who you listen to. And this it's back and forth every single time. It really does. The claims go from 0 to 60, depending on who you listen to, from either side here. And again, depending on who you listen to, from Lebanon today at an Israeli army base and military vehicles in Israel's north, some targets were hit. Israel is now claiming that an Israeli base was hit as well, yet that also differs from other reports, including from, you know, whether there was a general killed and people were, you know, to absolutely nobody, which is interesting. You know, and there's even reports, there's videos of Israeli people seemingly shuttling somebody into a helicopter on a stretcher. And of course, you have Hezbollah saying, see, look, somebody was injured. And I thought about showing you the video, but it's disputed. One person says, look, someone's injured, which it seems to be pretty clear. Then you actually have the IDF coming out and saying, ah, we tricked you. We did that just to fool you. It's like, it's just, it's ridiculous. Clearly, it seems likely that somebody was hurt. But you'll also hear that people, you know, the back and forth again, the killing, no killing. But here's Netanyahu saying that nobody was even scratched, which doesn't seem likely. But Lebanon's Al-Mayadeen TV said that Hezbollah had destroyed an Israeli military vehicle near the border, and that the strike, quote, killed and wounded those inside. Now, the Israeli military returned fire at the sources of the strike and at targets in southern Lebanon. right? So bombing Lebanon, starting fires in Lebanon, sending drones into Lebanon, and then when Lebanon strikes back and kills no one and barely does any damage, then they fight back and keep bombing Lebanon, right? Because that's what you do. That's what you do. You got to make sure you're always perpetually defending yourself, at least as the narrative goes, right? If you just let them attack you in retaliation, that clearly shows that you weren't defending yourself. But if you respond, you're always defending yourself, even though they started it, which they won't want you to hear. Now, according to reports in Lebanese media, there was a fire in the Marun al-Ras area at the Israeli border. Now, the Hezbollah-affiliated Al-Manar TV channel reported that Israeli artillery, the strikes were going on in this area continually. Now, Hezbollah announced that at a quarter past four today, one of its cells, quote, hit an Israeli armored vehicle near a location, I'm probably going to hack the name, and killed and wounded those inside. Avivim, I believe. It's an interesting name. But so here is something that came to mind in this discussion. Now, when I first saw this story, I was very hesitant. This came out a few days ago about, you know, so they, oh, we caught them, Israel, using a mannequin in a Jeep, which for whatever reason, they're trying to trick them to bomb it or, the, you know, whatever, the seems like a false flag, PSYOP kind of a thing. But the reason I didn't report on it, I was very skeptical, is it seemed like people were, it seemed photoshopped. From one angle, it looks like the dummy's on this side. From the other angle, it looks like he's on the other side. Seems like somebody made it up. Regardless now, it seems relevant. Because, according to the Jerusalem Post, I mean, you have to recognize that where this is exactly in the same location before I keep going. In regard to the northern Israel, southern Lebanon. So are we looking at the same location? Did they bomb this truck with a dummy? And is Israel claiming, are they claiming that people were killed and they weren't? Or was this all orchestrated to some degree? And this is my real skepticism setting in. Are, you know, are the Lebanese government and Israel working together? You know what I mean? Like, and this is just out of nowhere. But recognize that they're talking about bombing a truck. And we know that truck with a random dummy has been sitting there for how many days now? And all of a sudden we hear that they bombed this truck. No one was hurt. And then Israel responded. So was this some kind of setup? Think about that. I mean, it's certainly something we should be asking. I just felt like including that because that image rang true with this whole discussion, especially recognizing it's exactly where they said this was. Now, according to the Jerusalem Post, Israel's military, after, of course, Lebanon, I guess, blew up one thing and caused no damage and really didn't hurt anybody, didn't kill anybody, Israel's military, just like they do with Gaza, returned fire at targets in southern Lebanon, firing over 100 artillery shells, as well as an airstrike against the cell responsible for the attack. Because right? that's what's called not a disproportionate response. No. We just, it's as if they had this organized and planned, right? I mean, how is this even, I mean, even if Lebanon had attacked it first, to respond in this way is disproportionate. And in many ways, it can be seen as a war crime. But knowing that Israel started this and to respond in this way makes it even more egregious. Now, Lebanese media reported that in retaliation, the IDF shelled sites near the Lebanese border, the town of Marun al-Ras, but by 6:30 p.m., a tense, quiet return to the border. Now, here's where the story got even more interesting for me, and also just horrifying. When you really think about it. This was tweeted by Michael Horowitz. IDF targeted the village of Marun al-Ras. And this is spreading around. People have talked about this. They're using this as a reference. So, you know, so IDF targeted this area. No one's really looking any deeper. First thing that stood out to me when we were talking about this in my Discord today is, you know what it looks like right there off to the side? Doesn't look like. That's white phosphorus. And of course, there is a video in here. So let's take a look. And you see, you know, it's very distinctive. You understand that this is a very distinctive type of chemical. And it is a banned chemical weapon. That's a war crime to be used. It sprays out and it's going to zoom in for you so you can see it. Okay. Now there's no reason, especially since we're talking about a village where people are located. There is no justifiable reason to use white phosphorus, because the only things they claim are that they're using it for signaling or for, you know, to light the area, right? So that's what they always ridiculously claim. No, it was just to send a signal. But understand that if there's anyone even remotely close, that's a war crime. You cannot use this in areas where civilians or for that matter, other military personnel are located. So there's no justify. They can't say, no, we were just signaling. No, there were people there. That's a war crime. I mean, that has to be recognized right now. Also recognize that this is nothing new. Now, according to numerous reports, Israeli forces have fired several shells at the border village Maron al-Ras in southern Lebanon, and that the Israeli military is in fact using white phosphorus. So more than just the video evidence, that's very clear. We have multiple reports on the ground of this happening. Using white phosphorus munitions to attack southern Lebanon in response to Hezbollah's response to Israel's illegal attack. And this is far from a new occurrence. The only issue is that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are complicit in these acts and use white phosphorus themselves. So the U.N. can cry foul, you know, but no action is ever taken, which is really what it comes down to. I mean, everyone from the mainstream media to the United Nations to Human Rights Watch have openly accused the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia of committing war crimes by using banned chemical weapons, one of which is white phosphorus. They claim it's used for signaling and stuff, like we said, but there's really no justification for it in this case. I mean, again, with the evidence of the video, reports on the ground, and the very clear history of Israel specifically getting caught using white phosphorus in locations where there's no justification, including on protesters in Gaza, which is where the cover image is from. There's no reason we should balk at this because it's a regular occurrence. Now, with the situation along his country's southern border deteriorating, Lebanese Prime Minister Saeed Harari is on Sunday, actually or today, called for the United States and France to intervene in the situation here. Now, it's very important to recognize that Hezbollah, albeit having positions in parliament, being a political organization, having a military and political arm supported by people in Lebanon, is not the same thing as the Lebanese military. And just the Lebanese government, right? So you have to understand that having him reach out to, of all people, the United States and France to intervene. I mean, really, you didn't just come to your own conclusions on what that means to you. It could mean that they are so concerned about what Israel's about to do that they're willing to reach out to anybody. I mean, we have to see that's very clear. The world can see that the U.S. is involved in this or in what's going on here. Or it could mean that the Lebanese government is, like we said, possibly working to their own ends with the U.S. and Israel. Certainly possible. I don't think that's the case. But all that's certainly possible, especially considering the truck and the weird way that played out. But he's now asking for the U.S. and France to intervene. And isn't that lovely? So here we go. Now, if this is taken up on, we could literally have another U.S. occupation. Clearly, look, Israel's allowed to free reign to just tromp through Iraq right now. So I think we can pretty clearly see what would happen if the U.S. stepped in to, you know, intervene for democracy, of course, and then Israel just walks in right behind them. So I genuinely hope that we don't see this play out, because it will be the destruction of this country, as it has been for Iraq, for Syria, for Ukraine, for every other country in South America that they've destroyed, Afghanistan, all of them are left in ruin after their liberation. Now, hosting Harari in Washington 2 weeks ago, Pompeo pledged U.S. support to, quote, credible state institutions inside Lebanon. While Harari called a U.S. proposed maritime border solution between Israel and Lebanon credible. Now, in dealing with Lebanon, the U.S. has walked a line between supporting the country's government and, you know, sanctioning Hezbollah. Whose political wing is represented in the parliament, as I said. But they consider all of it a terrorist organization, despite being represented by the people. And then also recognize the absurdity of having somebody like Mike Pompeo stand up at the behest of Netanyahu, by the way, and say, yeah, we're going to hold all of Lebanon accountable for the acts of Hezbollah, even though they're right now talking with them about how, you know, it's ridiculous. This is saying that we are going to continue. It just basically gives them the open door to bomb anywhere in Lebanon and then blame it on Hezbollah, just like they do on Hamas and Gaza, regardless of who's actually responsible. It's nonsense, and it's not. It wouldn't fly anywhere else. But here's Mike Pompeo, who swears to fight for freedom and liberty and civilian lives, threatening all of the Lebanese people if they just don't get control of Hezbollah, as they want, right? They're forcing their agenda on a foreign country. Because that's abnormal for the United States. But, of course, as, you know, this is something I've continually been saying, and as Charmaine said herself, let's not forget that Israel initiated the aggression against Lebanon. You cannot ignore that fact in this story, even though the mainstream media is choosing to. This all started when they broke the law. And as I said in yesterday's show, we already know how this is going to go, regardless of how they manufacture it. If Lebanon continues to act in its right to respond in its self-defense as they pretend that everyone has the right to, even though they only want the right for Israel to do that, they will continue to demonize Lebanon and make them the guilty party in all of this, even though they're well within their rights to respond. Because they've already kind of made Lebanon out to be the bad guy. This is regardless of how they're trying to split between Hezbollah and Lebanon, clearly, if Lebanon supports Hezbollah, all of a sudden they're the bad guy supporting Iran, period. That's it. And it should continue to frustrate you as you see these things forced in your face. The lies. Using chemical weapons in civilian locations. None of it matters. Evidence of the U.S., Saudi Arabia repeatedly using it on civilians in different locations they swear they're liberating. And yet we're supposed to pretend like, no, they would never do this now. And even then, as they continue to lie about whether they use chemical weapons and everything else, we're supposed to listen to them now and say, well, they're probably telling us the truth now, right? Even though they lied about that, and that throughout history, but whatever, we're just supposed to blindly take their word now. I really wonder who actually thinks like that. What justification do you possibly have to just take them at their word? As they've been caught lying more times than they've been telling us the truth. Now, regardless, let me get this up here. There we go. Regardless, Israel's government is not wasting any time preparing for the war that it clearly wanted. Clearly. And that's not a secret. They've said that. They've been fighting for it. They've actually tried to illegally take Lebanon more than once. And now that Lebanon dared to fight back, well, of course, well, now we're ready for war, right? Because that is exactly what we've been wanting. Now, the United Nations peacekeeping force in Lebanon, meanwhile, urged restraint, of course, a similar call to the ones it made following each preceding escalation. Thanks, United Nations. That really helps. You know, you guys just please show restraint as you keep murdering civilians. That's lovely. Why don't you step up and actually take action against people that are committing war crimes and murdering people all around the world and pretending they're doing good? I mean, if you really want to talk about a nation's right to defend itself, Lebanon's response is justified in every possible way. But yet all you're going to hear about is how Israel has a right to defend itself. But of course, Netanyahu told reporters today that, you know, quote, Lebanon will pay the price. And I'll add to finish his sentence, for daring to fight back. And to end, I had to include what I reported as breaking news in yesterday's show. But today has become a major story. Yet the vast majority of the mainstream media is only talking about weather, you know, and one shooting. Regardless, this next story vindicates what we have been reporting for years and should serve to wake a few more people up to the reality of the U.S.-created horror that is the illegal Yemen invasion. And this next one also coming from RT. And this is becoming, I'm going to be genuinely shocked if they're able to ignore this story. Largely because the Red Cross is there as well, calling this out for exactly what it is. The U.S.-led coalition, strike on prison in Yemen kills at least 100 people, according to the Red Cross. Now, as always, for all those hyper-polarized minds out there, don't take that as a default, meaning we should always trust the Red Cross. You should never trust anybody. You should question everything while being open to everything. I've seen the Red Cross lie plenty of times. They've done some pretty disgusting, deceitful things within all of this. But nonetheless, it's the equivalent of having a member of the U.S. government stand up and say this is what happened. It's somebody that they've used to bolster their claims before who is now coming out and countering what they've been saying. It holds water. Now, a Red Cross official has estimated that U.S. coalition airstrikes killed at least 100 people at a Yemeni prison, which, again, we broke the story yesterday because Hussein al-Bukhadi sent it to me before anybody talked about this, until today, in fact. So if you watched the show yesterday, you were about 12, 14 hours ahead of everybody else. You should send your thanks to Hussein Al-Bukhaidi. And if you aren't familiar, check out the link in our show notes from yesterday and go follow him on Twitter. Subscribe to what he's doing, because he's doing fantastic work about showing you what's really happening in Yemen. You know, the thing that the media pretends doesn't exist. Now, medics have been dispatched to the scene of what looks like the deadliest strike in Yemen of this entire year. Think about that. The deadliest strike in Yemen of the whole year, of a year full of catastrophically deadly strikes. Civilians and families and children being killed everywhere. And this was looking like the most deadly of all of them. Airstrikes pounded the detention center, you know, where people were locked up and not allowed to leave, which makes it one of the most egregious war crimes. They pounded the detention center located in a college building in the southwest of the country on Sunday, today. Now, the U.S. coalition, which has waged an air campaign against the Houthis for 4+ years now, of course, as always, despite the Red Cross on the ground and the bodies in the bags, are right now claiming that we targeted a Houthi military facility. Literally said, quote, in accordance with international humanitarian law. This is what they want you to believe. And this is the kind of thing that really boils my blood. You know, that where I'm like, whew, like I have to really take a moment that they can stand up after murdering 100 people. And the Red Cross is there right now documenting it. And as the UN has continued to point out that they're killing civilians. And while the UAE, one of their allies in this coalition, just split off, bombed them, and said, I'm bombing them because they're killing civilians and committing terrorism. And yet right now they have the nerve to stand up and say, no, we only hit a military installation. And it was totally legal, well within international law, to kill all these people that we don't want you looking at. So offensive to me. Now, it says, quote, we estimate over 100 people were killed, according to the International Red Cross, the head in Yemen. And he was speaking with the French press agency. Now, the Red Cross head in Yemen said that the rescue teams are combing the rubble for survivors, but that the chances of success are very low. And this is the daily reality in Yemen that they just don't want you looking at. Body bags lined up at the site of the Saudi-led airstrike. A U.S. coalition airstrike led by the Saudis on a prison in Yemen. Now, earlier, the Red Cross dispatched medical teams to the airstrike site, carrying medical supplies to treat 100 people and 200 body bags, amid reports that dozens of detainees at the prison were feared dead. And here's the direct tweet from the Red Cross. It says, the Red Cross team carrying both urgent medical supplies can treat up to 100 critically wounded persons and 200 body bags to be donated is on its way right now to Darmar province in Yemen following airstrikes which are reported to have killed or wounded dozens of detainees, which is where they are now. Now, the attack looks set to be the deadliest this year, maybe in many more, carried out by the U.S. coalition in Yemen, in large part using your tax dollars and doing it in your name if you're an American. Are you okay with this? Now, the Saudis have faced fierce international criticism for their air campaign, which has more often than not seen non-military targets struck by warplanes, which is a nice way of saying children, civilians, elderly, women. People that are not part of what's going on, even just men who are simply civilians who have no part in this. Almost always, they are hurting, killing, maiming, circling back and bombing again, civilians on the ground. This has been documented by the UN. It's been documented by Red. It's been documented by Human Rights Watch. It's been documented by all kinds of people. But of course, just like we said with Israel and the white phosphorus, it doesn't matter. They have impunity. They can do what they want. And remember how we mentioned yesterday how Hadi, the president, the, you know, terrorist-linked president they want to put back in place in Yemen, kind of let it slip that, oh, we have, you know, legal impunity that we want to take away from the UAE? Well, yeah, we can see that in effect as they murder and maim and kill and get away with it. And then, of course, President Hadi stands up and says, oh, no, the UAE is bombing us now. How dare they? Somebody save us and protect our rights. The very man who's doing this, who's murdering children every day, is calling on the UN to defend his rights. I mean, I can't think of anything more offensive than that. As many as 40 civilians were killed in strikes on the port of Aden last month. I mean, just 1 year earlier, Saudi Arabian aircraft bombed a school bus. We've talked about this, killing more than 40 children, all under the age of 15 years old. This is not a new occurrence. I mean, you may remember that event, you know, because we covered it extensively on this channel. And absurdly enough, and this is actually something that it's important to hear. Absurdly enough, the Last American Vagabond YouTube channel got its first YouTube strike a year or so ago, or more actually, a couple years ago. Guess why? For claiming that the U.S. coalition had killed children in Yemen, which we now know is a fact. So an obvious example of YouTube censoring based on political opinions, and in this case, one that we now know was obviously incorrect. Yet they still censored me. They still shut the video down. And yet that's a video that's still restricted right now, nevertheless. How ridiculous. But that time, that was off limits. I wasn't supposed to be saying it then. Again, well ahead of the time. And here is the article about the 40-plus kids being murdered. And it's important to recognize that this is, oh, my mistake, that's a different one. That's from October. 22 children, oh no, that's August, excuse me. 22 children, 5 women killed by Saudi strikes on a bus. Oh, hold on, I have the right one somewhere. That's a different one. Here it is. Oh no, excuse me, this is the funeral that they bombed. Sorry, that's The Intercept. That's not even my site. Sorry, I'll find it somewhere. Hold on. This is a totally different one. 24 children, civilians killed in a school bus. Again, interesting. I must have had the wrong one here somewhere. I'm sorry. Oh, here it is. Sorry, there's so many school buses full of children that they've been bombing. It took me a minute to find the right one. U.S.-backed airstrikes just targeted a bus full of children. At some accounts at that moment were 50, 40. It varies by reports. Obviously, I'm being facetious. The point being that they're day in and day out are buses and funerals and weddings that are bombed with no legal justification. But the U.S. government just let it happen. They don't care. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it. How many times has it happened? How many times will it continue to happen? I could have just spent the next 40 minutes going through clip after clip after clip showing you, oh, here they bomb 5 children, here they bomb these women, here they bomb these elderly, here they circle back and bomb them here, day after day after day after day. Every single one of them war crimes. It just goes on and on. And they pretend like it's not happening. And so we see this event today that they're lying about yet again. And I think we have to recognize what's actually going on. Now, further back, Saudi strikes targeted a Houthi prison before, actually, in a port of Hodeidah in 2016. This is 2016. At least 58 people were killed in the airstrike, many of them prisoners awaiting trial. So the coalition said at that time that the prison was used by the Houthis as a command center. So, in fact, the same exact lie, by the way. Because this was later proven that, in fact, they were 58 people waiting trial inside of a prison. And so just like they're lying now, saying it was a military installation, they were lying then, saying it was a military installation. And they got caught lying back then, and they'll likely get caught lying about this one now. But a month later, 2 months later, when everyone had forgotten about it, and those people's lives no longer matter, at least to the mindless masses watching mainstream media. Over and over and over. It only takes you willing to open your eyes to what's right in front of you. They lied in 2016 about bombing another prison. 58 people died. So not only is this something the U.S. coalition very clearly carried out, but this atrocity is not even a new occurrence in Yemen. So as this carries on, unacknowledged by the U.S. government and the mainstream media, as the U.S., Israeli, and Saudi Arabian governments continue to egregiously violate and just flat-out ignore international law and commit all the crimes they accuse their adversaries of, reflect on how the United Nations, the Red Cross, numerous nations around the world, and even the mainstream media have openly accused these governments of war crimes. And they act as if that makes no difference to them. You know why? Because today, it doesn't. But reflect on that. And the fact that these governments are the ones aggressively telling you right now that you have to trust their word and let them attack other nations, but, you know, for your safety, of course. And I leave you today with a tweet from Alex Rubenstein that points out how clearly Western media only shows you what the U.S. government tells it to. And it looks like, actually, I think I forgot to include the tweet, but I was going to play the video for you anyway. And his tweet reads, intense scenes of violence, violent police repression in Boston today. But you won't be hearing as many peeps from the liberal comment. That's an interesting word. The liberal commentators, as you would if it happened in Hong Kong or Russia or wherever else there is an independent country the U.S. is trying to ratchet up pressure against. And I'll leave you with the video of that of police aggressively suppressing protesters in Boston today that no one seems to care about. Of course, while they, you know, deign to cover every second that's happening in Hong Kong. And on that side note, I touch base with Lou Krudowski today. I think we're setting up for an interview tomorrow for what's going on in Hong Kong, so that'll be coming your way. But I'll leave you with this video of what's really going on that they just don't want you to see. Please help me get this information out. The war crimes, the chemical weapons, the civilian murders, covered up by your own government. It's time, people. It's time. Time to do something to stop this from happening. Because I can't just sit idly by and continue to watch these civilians get murdered by people using my name with my tax dollars. Just can't do it anymore. I love you guys. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. And as I say that, I'm going to make you wait one more second because me rushing to make my Sunday show here, as I try to slowly speak as I find this video for you, I forgot to add the video at the end. See, I'm used to taking Sundays off, so you have to cut me some slack here. This is, it's important to see this while I'm waiting here to understand that this is what happens in places that they, you know, France, again, is the obvious example. The Yellow Vest protests that they just don't seem to care about that are incredibly violent, incredibly, but that doesn't matter, right? Because it's something that doesn't suit their narrative. So here's the video. I love you guys. Stay safe. I'll see you next time.
Get it!
Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Watch out! Watch out! Mace! Mace! Mace!
Oh shit! Oh shit!
Mace!
Mace!
Be careful! Be careful!
Oh shit!
Be careful! Be careful!